ministries that God's people can have is the ministry of comfort. Oh, how many broken-hearted people there are around us. And the Lord can use us to share His grace and His love. In John chapter 11, I read beginning in verse 17, "Then when Jesus came, He found that He had lain in the grave, that is, Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother." That Greek word that is translated comfort there means to speak near, to get close to somebody and speak words of encouragement. Well, when Lazarus died, Mary and Martha's friends came to them and sought to be a comfort to them. You know, in Jesus' day, the Jews would weep for 3 days when somebody died, and then they would spend the next 4 days in very deep mourning. The first week would be devoted to very deep mourning. And then during the rest of the month, they would gradually lessen their mourning and then finally return to normal life again. Well, we don't have traditions like that today. But one thing is sure, there are many, many people who are carrying broken hearts. All around you are broken-hearted people. And perhaps you are one of them. If ever you have lost a loved one, perhaps you know how many people are sincere. They want to help you. They want to encourage you, but they do just the opposite, and they bring more pain to your heart. And so if you and I are to help others in their time of grief and their time of sorrow, there are some basic principles that we have to recognize, some basic facts that we need to know. Perhaps the first one and the most important is this: God expects us to grieve. I have been in funeral homes. I've been at funeral services. I don't know how many hundreds of funerals I have conducted in my ministry. And I've heard Christians say some very silly, stupid things. Here's the family gathered around the casket, and the family is weeping, and somebody will come in and say, "No, no, don't cry, don't cry. Your loved one's in heaven." We're supposed to cry. God gave us the ability to sorrow and to weep. When God made Adam and Eve, He gave them tear ducts and tear glands. And He said to them, "Now, when you have a burden and a heartache and you want to weep, you weep, because I'm making you this way." You see, if you do not grieve, you are going to hurt yourself. Now, there's a false grieving that is hypocrisy. There's an abnormal grieving that really creates damage to a person. But there is a normal process of grief that God has built into our lives, and we had better not fight against it. You know, if you were to fall down and break your arm, the doctor would set the bone and put a cast on it, and the normal process of healing would take place. Well, a broken heart is something like a broken arm, except for one thing. We have to help it. You see, the broken arm will heal naturally. If you get your rest, and if you're careful, and if you eat the right food, your system will heal itself. A broken heart does not heal itself. We have to help it heal. And there are actually certain stages that we go through in this period of grief. I have been through them, and perhaps you have been through them. When we first hear that a loved one has died, there's a shock that comes to us. This is normal. It's as though the body is anesthetizing itself. We sort of go into a shock. We can't believe that this would happen. Then, of course, the next stage would be tears and deep emotion. We weep over the loss of a loved one. Well, even though that loved one might have been lingering for a long time, that doesn't make it any easier. It makes it harder. I recall the services I've conducted for loved ones who live with their family for many years. Here's a grandmother or a grandfather or a mother or father, very aged. And then they go home to be with the Lord. And someone says, "Well, you had them a long time. Does that make it any easier?" No, it makes it harder. And so there are tears, and there's deep emotion, and sometimes it comes out when you least expect it. Sometimes you almost are not able to control it. This is often followed by loneliness and depression. The world just comes to an end, doesn't it? There can even be physical symptoms. I've known of people who, during times of bereavement, have had symptoms of heart conditions and other problems, and they weren't really sick at all. It was just because of the reaction in their own bodies. We are human. Sometimes there's a feeling of guilt. So often I've counseled with people who say, oh, Pastor, if I had only loved my husband more, if I had only cared for the children more, a lot of ifs and ands and buts and all sorts of problems, a feeling of guilt down inside, sometimes even anger and resentment. Sometimes we even get angry at God. Why would God permit our little one to be called home? Why would God permit the husband to die when he was so desperately needed? Why does God permit these things? Gradually, over the days and weeks, we start to get a new perspective. We realize that the world has not come to an end, that we have to live, that the best way to show respect for the dead is to care for the living. Finally, we accept the reality of it, and we return to our new life. Does that mean it'll never hurt again? Oh, no, we're going to hurt for the rest of our lives. It's like an amputation when somebody dies. Does it mean that we'll never be able to adjust? Yes, we'll be able to adjust, but it won't be quite the same. It won't be quite the same. It's not that mechanical. You know, it's not as though a piece of the automobile breaks, we put a new piece in, and everything keeps on going. No, we've lost something that can never again be restored to us this side of heaven. Now, we still have the Lord. We know that. We still have our faith. But we've lost a loved one, and it hurts. God expects us to grieve. I read in John chapter 11 and verse 35 that Jesus wept. Now, he doesn't expect us to grieve like those who have no hope. There is a kind of frenzy, a kind of panic, a kind of depression that unsaved people show when there's bereavement because they have no hope. But you and I as Christians grieve, but not as those who have no hope. God expects us to grieve. It's normal. It's natural. And we had better do it. Otherwise, we're going to hurt ourselves. The second fact we need to lay hold of is this, that grieving people can be helped or they can be hurt. It all depends on our attitude and our words. What do grieving people need from their friends? Well, first of all, they need our presence. I appreciate the fact that many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Many of them came. Your presence, just being there. Oh, so often when I was in pastoral ministry, I'd be waiting at the funeral home when the family was going to come to see the body for the first time. That's a difficult time. And I'd meet them at the front door, and we'd have prayer together, and then we'd walk into the funeral home, and we'd stand there by the casket, and I wouldn't say a word. I'd just stand there. And, of course, we would be weeping together and weeping with those who weep. And many years later, people have said to me, you know, Pastor, just having you there, you didn't have to say anything, just being there was a great help to us. You don't have to preach sermons. You don't have to say a lot, quote a lot of scripture. Just be there. The hand that grips your shoulder, that friendly, loving hug, just being there, that means a lot. And, you know, accept the way people are acting. Accept their words. Accept their emotions. Don't say things like, no, don't cry. Let them cry. Accept their tears. Jesus didn't scold Mary and Martha and their friends because they were weeping. And don't tell him how he's supposed to feel. Don't say, now, I know just how you feel. You don't know how he feels. You say, well, I've been through it. That's right, but everybody's different. And nobody wants you to come along and compare your emotions with their emotions. Just accept their words, accept their emotions. Don't say things like, be brave, keep a stiff upper lip, you know, you've got to have a strong backbone. All of that kind of talk just creates more problems. And don't try to give explanations for what happened. So often people who are bereaved are saying, oh, why did this happen? And so you tell them why, but you don't know why. This was why Job called his friends miserable comforters and physicians of no value. Here they were trying to give Job reasons for what was going on. They didn't know what was going on. God knew what was going on, and he hadn't told anybody yet. Your friends with their broken hearts do not need explanations. They don't need sermons. They don't need you to be comparing your experience with their experience. As far as they're concerned, nobody feels the way they feel. Nobody hurts the way they hurt. And they don't want anybody coming and telling them anything different. I notice here in John 11 that Mary and Martha responded a little differently. Martha was the activist. She came walking out and she met the Lord Jesus. Mary sat in the house. Personalities are different, but grieving is still painful. And the best thing you and I can do is be there, listen, encourage, quote scripture briefly, carefully, but don't preach sermons. Because people hurt too much to try to figure out a long, detailed explanation or sermon. Just feel with these people. Love them. Encourage them. Don't try to run their lives. I think there's a third fact we need to lay hold of. God expects us to grieve, and grieving people can be helped or hurt. We don't want to hurt them. We want to help them by being there and by listening and by being very careful what we say. The third fact is this, grieving people must see the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's the only one who can heal the brokenhearted. Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. In John chapter 11, the Lord Jesus came to Mary and Martha. He shared their sorrow. He wept with them. He revealed himself to them in a brand new way. He said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. They learned some new truths about the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed for them. He interceded on their behalf. And then, of course, he called Lazarus out from the grave. Now, you and I know that when Christians die, they go to heaven, but there's still a loss here on earth. You and I know that one day we shall go to heaven, but that's not right now. We feel the loss right now. The whole point of John chapter 11 is simply this, that Jesus Christ is there in the hour of need. Now, he didn't come when they expected him to come, but we don't tell him what to do. How do we know that Jesus Christ is with us when we're going through the time of bereavement and sorrow and death? Because the Word of God tells us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And you know, the answer to the broken heart is not a sermon from some Christian friend. It's just seeing the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is there in his spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's there working through his people. It's good to know that even after the funeral service was over, people were still visiting Mary and Martha and encouraging them. I've noticed that about 2 or 3 months after a person dies, the family really hits bottom. Something sort of happens to them, and all of a sudden, down they go. You know, before the burial, people are there at the house, and people are encouraging, and immediately after the funeral, a lot of people show up to encourage and help. But after a week or so, people kind of forget you. Don't do that. Be praying for your friends who are going through sorrow. And call them up and let them know that you love and you care. And it may be that they'll say to you, well, I'd like to go out to the cemetery. Would you go with me? Go along with them. This is the kind of ministry that encourages people. You know, your pastor can't do all of the ministry when there's a funeral. My, it takes up so many, many hours, and he's glad to serve in every way. But it's a beautiful thing when the members of the church take these people under their wing. They help families where there's been a loss of a loved one. And they love and they encourage and they help. Our Lord makes it very clear in John chapter 11 that resurrection power is available today. We don't have to wait until the coming of the Lord Jesus. His resurrection power can flow through our lives today to heal the brokenhearted, to bring encouragement. It's a beautiful ministry to help to dry the tears of God's suffering people. That's why we suffer. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Be a comforter today. Be an encourager of God-suffering people.